Deplorable Nation, the podcast of the people, by the people, for the people. For your rights, we fight. You decide. Facts. Is it really conspiracy? It's all up to you, patriots. Never give up. Hello, all you beautiful, sexy, gorgeous patriots out there, and welcome to episode number 9 of Deplorable Nation. Today's episode is going to be about indoctrination of our children. So anyway, today I don't have anything catchy to say to you. I just have a little song for you. Are you ready?
Let's hear it.
Okay. If you love us and you know it, download Podbean. If you love us and you know it, download Podbean. If you love us and you know it, and you really want to show it, if you love us and you know it, download Podbean. Anyway, thank you very much. So, welcome our co-host, Mr. Matt. How the hell are you today?
I've had a challenging morning, but I'm fighting the good fight, and I'm optimistic. So there you go.
I just want to know, did the short bus ever come and pick you back up?
Of course not.
You're still waiting in your bubble wrap.
I'm not waiting anymore. I gave up.
That's depressing. So today we have a very special guest joining us. My good friend, Mr. Bob's Lessons. How the heck are you, Bob?
Let's get it on.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh.
Did you like that, Matt?
I'm a little turned on, I got to be honest. Thank God that this is
my video. I know. Me too.
I was hoping maybe I could get in one of your recording sessions. I was basically auditioning right there.
Oh, dude, you're in. That was a 10 out of 10. That was beautiful.
I'm nice. Feeling all Twitter-pated at the moment.
Oh, God, dude. I'm so – God, Twitter right now, man. Dude, I'm telling you. I'm like I can feel it now. You guys know what I mean. Oy.
I can't wait. Yeah, I can't wait to hear like what your Twitter life has been like the last, 4 or 5 days.
That's about – yeah. Yeah, last Thursday.
Yeah.
Last Thursday.
Yeah.
So for our listeners who don't know, my co-host Matt posted a video about things that have been going on in his daughter's homeschooling. The video went very viral. It has a hell of a lot of views on Twitter. People have been sharing it on Instagram, on Facebook, on Parler, absolutely everywhere. So to get an accurate count is damn near impossible. But Matt, why don't you tell us what's going on?
All right. Well, I guess all this started basically. So last week, my kid's school is a public charter school. Okay. So we fall under the same guidelines as the LAUSD, the Los Angeles Unified School District. So, you know, last Monday they started, and it was the Monday was going to be a half of a day for us. So we'd only go till noon. And again, they're rolling this out. We're not an online school. So I knew there would be challenges and it wouldn't go great. And they were actually very cool. They were giving out hotspots because I live in a poor area. I mean, East LA is not a lot of money and stuff. So they're accommodating everybody, doing all that. First day was okay. They had about a 90%, I think, attendance rate. Very awkward. Even my daughter, she's like, oh, this is weird. You know, even though I don't like school, she's at the point where she's like, I want to go back because I miss my friends. And, you know, we're missing out on the whole human factor here. So day one goes by, day two goes by, day three goes by, and then day three is when it really started. And I went, okay, maybe it's just a fluke. Oh, so here's what it was. In the science class, you had three people to choose from. And I'm not kidding you that you could like follow on some kind of online forum. And this was for science class. And the one on the far left was Greta Thunberg. The guy in the middle was the hip hop scientist. I don't know who the name was, but I guess
Bill Nye, the science guy.
He was the third guy. So you had three of them, and I was like, wow, those are all kind of left-wing bad choices to me. And I go, okay, well, maybe it's whatever. But I was like, Greta Thunberg, I was like, you mean the girl that dropped out of high school and who knows nothing and her father was a failed actor? Oh, that one? Yeah. Okay.
And when did she become a scientist?
When she dropped out of school and they told her she was one. That's when she became one.
I want a degree like that. Right? I should be a fucking doctor.
So third day goes by, fourth day, and I'm not kidding. I'm sitting in here. So the classes start at 8:30. They're usually about a half an hour. They're short. So I'll give you the stats. Only 20% of the kids have been putting their cameras on because they've been sending out notices saying, hey, turn them on. My daughter's like, what are you guys, a bunch of pedophiles? We're underage. You can't tell us to do whatever. And I'm like, you're right.
So
fourth day, no kidding, 8:30, they start the class, probably 10 minutes. I get a text from my daughter, and it says, "Dad, come check this shizzle." I thought I was going to die. And she's 13. She's 13, dude. She's so funny. So I go in there live. I see all these kids looking down at their phones. They're not even paying attention. The teacher's back there nodding her head up and down like, yeah, that's right. And that picture that I posted with the black, you know, Black Lives Matter and the communist fist and all that, that's what was on there. She goes, "I've been screenshotting everything and just saving it." And I go, "Oh, hell no. I saw it myself." And I go, "This is live, right?" She goes, "Yeah." And I go, "Oh, my God." I go, "Hell no." I took a picture. I called the school immediately, and I know the principal. She's actually a friend of mine. And, dude, she's a white Irish lady who's leading a school of 98% Hispanic kids. And that's just a fact. I don't care either way. I've lived in this area 18 years. My girlfriend's a Latina. All the people here know me. They love me. Actually, I've had a lot of people telling me I really should run for school board, and maybe I will. Maybe I'll consider doing that at some point. So I
have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
What in the hell? They're indoctrinating kids at a school,
right,
that has any white students?
My daughter, there's probably, out of 500 kids, there's probably five, maybe. But it's 98. I mean, even if you look up stats, I mean, like I said, I'm not going to say the school's name yet. But the only person right now, by the way, who knows the school is Donald Trump, because I wrote him yesterday. Oh, my God, if you guys look on that thread, he has to know about this. And I know they're running the Republican convention right now, but I know that he knows what's going on. I guarantee you he's probably seen this or at least heard about it.
I'm sure he does.
Here's my question. Is your daughter subject to bullying right now because of it?
No. Well, I mean, no one messes with her. But you know why, Bob? Everybody knows me and they know me at the school. I'm the guy out there who offered to buy security cameras 3 years ago. And they said no, because they don't want that image. And I was like, "You're saying you want to protect the kids. I'm offering to even, you know, absorb the cost, and you still say no." Like, dude, it's like she's not being bullied in any way, because I hate to say it, all the parents know not to screw with me.
Right.
Seriously, they do. Well, they know. Yeah, I made it very clear. I mean, I'm 6'4", so when you see me out there, you know that, like, I mean, I stand there. I'm like, if I'm the only guy that's going to be out here fighting for my kid, then that's fine. Then I will fight it. That's what I have to do.
Right. And let's address, because some people, you know, when they were responding to you on Twitter, they said, "Why can't you just pull your daughter out of the school?" What's your response to that, Matt?
Because I'm the only guy here with an opposing point of view. And if I leave, they'll never hear the other side.
Right.
That's a good point.
No, I'm serious. And of all the comments I've had about 35,000 retweets so far as of right now. We're at 503,000, I think, when I last checked on Twitter, just Twitter. So you got to figure. Yeah, dude, I had friends write me going, "Oh, my God, dude, you made Flecka Talks." I think I'd sent you guys that. You made.
Oh, I love Flecka Talks.
Yeah, I love Flecka. Yeah, he's great. But it's,
he's out in your area too, right?
Yeah, he's in California as far as I know, like Mark Dice.
It went really viral, because not only were you on that, but you are on And We Know. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners already watched that. And We Know is huge. And he's had some very, very large accounts pick that video up and run with it. So thank you to every single person out there who has shared, because it's important to get the word out about the kind of crap that they are doing to our children.
I spoke yesterday, Janet, I spoke with a guy. Hold on, I'll tell you who he's with. Have you ever guys heard of a group called, is it Mass Resistance? MassResistance.org. It's a guy named Arthur Shaper. And he's actually a conservative, and he's against LGBT indoctrination in schools, and he's against the Marxist movement. He's running for a local government seat here in Torrance, California, which is south of me. I spoke with him yesterday at 9 a.m., and he was like, "Dude," first thing, he goes, "What's the school?" And I go, "Dude, I'm holding all the cards here. I'm going to run this the way I want to run it." You know what I mean? It's like the way that I feel it should be done. All this, dude, all this came about as like a fluke, because, I mean, within the first – you guys are going to laugh. Within the first maybe hour or so, I had maybe 124 views, and I was laughing. I go, "Wow, that's pretty good. That's pretty good, right?" Right. And Bob, like 24 hours later, it was up to 250,000, and I was like, "Oh, God." I was like, so if it's that on Twitter, and everybody was like, "Dude, you're on three sites on Instagram, like California Conservative and all this."
Bro, wait like 2 months when you think the video is dead, and then it's going to resurface somewhere and people are going to be like, hey, I saw this is what's happening to my Joe Biden video. I just turned on Facebook and somebody's like, hey, you're on TikTok. And I was like, what is that? No, I mean, I know what TikTok was. I've never been on it. And then it's circulating TikTok. So like,
nice.
You're going
to people are dancing to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God. So it's going to, you know, just when the internet doesn't sleep. So, you know, as soon as you think that this video is dying, you know, it may get retweeted by Trump or, you know, somebody else like that. But
you know what I would like to see. And I guarantee you, I mark my words, either Sean Hannity or Tucker Carlson are going to have me on the show, whether remotely or whatever. I mean, if I had to go to Hollywood to go to Fox, I could do it.
Well, yeah, it's a topical issue. I was even listening to Glenn Beck this morning, and they're releasing some video called Brainwashed, which is...
I saw that. Yeah.
Did you see that? So it's like some New York teachers, and I believe it was led by a black teacher that took a lot of this Marxist black BLM stuff and these group of teachers put it all on a zip drive, and they're going to expose it to show how the Marxist movement's, you know, infiltrating our school system. So, I mean, it's very, very possible and probable you're going to end up on one of these shows.
Oh, no, I know. And I know. And it's like, you know, this guy that I spoke to the other day, who's the, you know, running for local government, he goes, what's the name of the school? And I said, dude, I'm not going to tell you. And he's like, you know, it'll help. Blah, blah. I said, again, I was like, dude, I don't work for you. You know, again, this all came about by accident. I'm like, dude, I know what I'm doing. I can handle this. I know how to deal with this and to do it in a peaceful. And I want to reiterate, everybody, like at one point when I do give out like emails for, you know, work to say, hey, here's the other side. I want you to actually hear from other people. Dude, I'll tell you what got me more. I was crying last night reading letters from China, and you hit the translate and it says, thank you for doing this. Don't let your country become what we have. Dude, some of those, I was crying reading that. I went, dear God, man, like, that's heavy, you know?
Well, that's what's happening.
And that's the thing is people all over the world watch our politics because we are a free country, and if we fall to communism, there's no hope for anyone else.
We're done. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same. I mean, like, imagine if USA falls. It's kind of like what Matt was saying, you know, if he takes his kid out, like, there's no opposition. Like, if America falls,
there's nobody to fight.
Yeah, yeah. So that's why everybody's turning to American politics, because I feel like a lot of places realize that we're, like, the last, you know, standing.
We're the last bastion of hope, my friend.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Say it.
So Matt, tell me, and I know because we've known each other for a long time, but tell me some of the other things, since the start of school now, not just the Black Lives Matter stuff and the communist fist and the Marxism they're teaching and stuff, but tell me what else has happened, not just last week, but throughout the years, the last several years.
I'll tell you one that'll blow you away. When my daughter was in the second grade, she came up to me after school and I go, how was school? And imagine a second grade little girl going, Dad, I think they're trying to brainwash us.
Mm.
No shit.
Because she's highly intelligent. She is like the smartest kid.
Well, she's aware. She's just aware of it. I mean, for her to say that to me without me leading her down a path, I was like, dear God, it took me, you know, 25 years to figure that out, right?
Right.
Okay, so I'll take you back. This started in fourth grade at her elementary school, which is of the same, you know, basic school as this. They were showing, they had a gay teacher. It was this lesbian lady, and she was cool. I loved her to death. She was from Ohio. We were like, we were buddies. I thought we were cool. So she starts showing CNN kids in class, and I found out, and Ash would tell me, she goes, Dad, they're starting it again with the pro-Hillary stuff. And they had a thing in class, a mock election where everyone had to vote. And she was so scared. She goes, I had to vote for Hillary because all the kids were looking at me like, oh, you're the only white kid, so you're going to vote for Trump. And I was like, dude, that breaks
that is
my heart.
Voter intimidation in a classroom.
Right.
With a bunch of fourth graders. So that was when it started. And I said, if you're going to show CNN and kids in class, you need to have the alternative. I would rather you have none of it at all, because it says no school is allowed to use their influence to, you know, push kids down a certain political path. And that's exactly what you guys were doing. So it was fourth grade. And then fifth grade with the last principal, I had a big, big, big blowout meeting with her, a 2-hour meeting with her. At the end of the meeting, the first question I asked her, I said, why do you feel you have the right to run the school as if it's a branch of the Democratic Party? And she just looked at me like, oh my God, like no one's ever asked me that. And I said, you guys are so left-wing that I was thinking about it the other day when I was in Santa Monica, and I almost fell into the Pacific Ocean. I mean, it's, you know what I mean? It's so, dude, they were so blatant about it. She had James Comey's book outside her office as suggested reading for the school in 2017. Right. So that's when it all started. Fourth grade, fifth grade. This particular principal was supposed to leave at the end of the year, but after our meeting, she left a month and a half after our meeting. She left 6 months early, and I guarantee you it's because of me.
Well, I remember, you know, even that, you know, my mom's a principal, my sister's an educator, and, you know, I got my degree in teaching. So, you know, this is like close to home with me too. And, you know, I was telling you guys during the pre-show, so I'll say it on here as well. My sister is involved in a program called Facing History. And, you know, it's if you go on the site, like even if you go on facinghistory.org, boom, like the first thing you see is George Floyd and facing our history and racial violence in America. It even talks about racism and coronavirus and how to, like, you know, because like people of Asian descent are being discriminated against because, you know, some people in North America are labeling it, you know, misrepresenting it. So the whole thing is about this indoctrination. And I clicked on, they just received a historical grant, and I clicked on who it was, and it was the wife of Jeff Bezos just donated like a ridiculous sum of money. So, I mean, like, right. People think these are like grassroots campaigns, but they're not. And like, so what my sister's involved in, and, you know, whether or not, you know, she's, you know, real ignorant about the true meaning of it or what, but they go into schools and their whole job, and even says it on the front page, is to transform schools via curriculum. She has organized walkouts, you know, for gun reform. And I remember even sitting down to dinner with them. It was for my birthday, and they were talking about how they had a speaker come to a school, and one of the parents, who's probably very similar to Matt, was very uncomfortable with the speaker because he was talking about gun reform to a classroom full of, you know, middle school and junior high kids. And even my mother, who I love to death, who really just turns a blind eye to some of this stuff, and she's very, you know, always, you know, she always wants to do what's right. She even said, well, the school is the best place to do this kind of stuff. And I had to stop them. I said, no. I said, it's the worst place because you're talking about young, impressionable minds. You're only telling them one side of the coin. I said, yep. Would you have somebody from the NRA come in and talk about, you know, arming the teachers or just anything about, you know, the Second Amendment things? You know, would you offer a counterpoint to what this speaker is, you know, insinuating? And my sister gave me the scoff as if, like, I just told her that, like, I wanted to kill all the Jews or something, you know, like, oh, literally, like she looked at me like I was Hitler at that point. And it made the conversation, you know, very uncomfortable. And so this stuff is happening, like the infiltration of the schools with like the left wing liberal revisionist history ideology. And it's all about fascist authoritarianism, fascist.
Right.
And I asked her, I said, have you talked about, you know, Mao in China? Have you talked about any communist? Have you talked about Pol Pot in Cambodia? Have you talked about any of these genocides? Have you talked about the current state of the CCP? And she just looked at me like I was in you know, like I was a crazy person. You know, I was like, why don't you guys just like either don't do it at all or show both sides? And just like Matt, my opinion is don't show either side unless you're going to allow the students to engage in a debate, you know,
exactly.
Like point counterpoint, you know?
Right.
Okay. So here's two things. When the education system was first developed, I think the guy's name was Han. H-A-N-N or something like that. But his whole thinking was to go into the schools because those are the minds that are impressionable that you can mold.
Exactly.
And you can mold into whatever.
Whatever you want.
Whatever thing that they're kind of like Play-Doh.
Yep. Yeah.
So put it that way. The second point is, in the tenets of communism, the pillars of communism, if you look them up, one of them mentions the education system and merging that with the industrial complex.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to indoctrinate children based on, and this is in, you know, the Communist Manifesto and several other communist or Marxist things that you can look up. But one of their whole things is that under communism, people are only educated to learn how to work in the industrial complex for the government. So if you reteach them under the communist ways, it teaches them to argue, to fight, to incite violence, and things like that, to be able to get your way in a, you know, so that you can fight against the quote industrial complex.
Right.
That you're not molded into, you have to go to work for a living to contribute to society.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But right. I want you to think, what is communism? Communism wants you to work for manufacturing. It's all about manufacturing that's owned by the government. And you don't have a choice in jobs. They tell you where to work.
You're a government and what slave. To do,
right. And how many hours you're going to work. And you share everything you make with someone else. So you could work 90 hours a week, but they're going to take however much they want to give to other people. That's just the way it is. And it's going to be like the old days of slave labor, you know, when people first started coming to the United States and you may make, you know, 5 cents a day or whatever.
And people, check out, yeah, go ahead, Matt. Go ahead.
I was going to say, check out the Irish slaves, because I was talking to my daughter about that. And I go, you want to talk right. about people that were treated horribly? Look up Irish slavery, my friends.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Irish need not apply when they came over. That's why they all had to get government jobs, because nobody would hire them, you know. And, you know, the other thing like this, is, you know, if people are, some people might be listening, and be like, oh, this is that, you know, this is crazy talk. A lot of these politicians that are, you know, that are very prominent positions come from the school of Saul Alinsky, like Hillary Clinton right. and Barack Obama. Hillary Clinton was like wrote her freaking, you know, dissertation about her thesis about, her thesis about it. And Saul Alinsky, you know, that's one of the rules that he talks about is ridicule, like, you know, like attack, you know, bury. And if you look at, you know, just the 13 rules for radicals, you'll see a lot of these, you know, indoctrination methods and methods of, you know, subversion. That's what it is. It's ideological subversion. Right. So when we talk about infiltration instead of invasion, JFK was talking about that in the 60s. And now we're seeing that because the people that were young back then are now the ones in charge of indoctrinating, are the right. ones, in powerful positions in the school, teaching the next generation. So the infiltration part instead of invasion, that's why it's scary to me, because, you know, you can try to kill off a group of people through genocide, but like to me, thought genocide is the most dangerous, because once you destroy an idea like that, that doesn't come back, you know?
Right. So Matt, what you had mentioned that this is a public charter school. What is the difference between, do they share the same teachers union?
No.
As a regular public school, or is it different?
Not at all. And that's funny, because I had so many I couldn't even comment on so many of the comments, because it was just, you know,
right.
Most people are like, oh, you know, take it out of the public school, or, you know, it's unions. So here's the difference. So you have LA Unified School District, right? That is the parent over everybody. And in the LAUSD out here in our system, there's over 600, I think, and 50,000 students. So it's a lot of kids. So right. The difference between a regular public and a public charter is the public schools are, you know, government funded, state and federal. The public charters are state, federal, and we have private donors. And I looked up all the big donors that we have, and they're all left-wing Democratic donors, all of them. So that's the difference. We're not in a teachers union, but the teachers get paid well, as far as I understand. I don't know the exact rate. But here's the difference in what the commodity of the students are from a public school in Los Angeles County of a public compared to a public charter. So say if you just go to a regular public school out here, the state values your child at $7,200 per student per day, whether you're documented or not. Keep that in mind. The charter schools, since we get private donors, we get $5,200 a day. So that's the difference in the price. But $5,200 a day at 180 days in a year is $936,000 a student they're making. And let's see, what families have big families? Mexican people. Okay, we're 95%. Most of the, and I'm not being judgmental or anything, but, you know, they do have two and three kids and a lot of kids. So you figure 930,000 times one times two. Oh, you got three? Bring them on in times three. And you start to see, to me, it's like for what you're learning, you know, as far as if you're teaching politics and this and that, it's not equal. It's not balancing out to me. It's unfair, like big time. So that's just.
So in the her school, it's mostly Hispanic families, correct?
95%.
Okay, so that's really odd to me that you would teach BLM curriculum and have a school partner with BLM.
Right.
Because isn't there a history of dislike between the blacks and the Latinos?
Well, I actually said that. And I, to the school, I was like, that's the conversation you guys need to have. I want to read something to you guys that's actually from, here it is. I'm going to read this to you guys for your listeners, and you can look this up on the California Teachers Association. They put this out. Somebody had actually sent me this privately, and it says, student CTA, so California Teachers Association, stands in solidarity with the Black Lives Matter movement in schools and our communities. Across multiple platforms, we have seen the response for All Lives Matter and Blue Lives Matter, which we do not condone or accept. These statements and counter movements are a form of gaslighting that minimizes the oppression that Black individuals face in the United States every day. It validates and erases hundreds of years of oppression and systematic racism that continues to happen today. These statements, counter movements, represent a form of intentional colorblind racism spawned from white fragility and bolstered by white terrorism. They refuse to acknowledge. Okay. No.
There's a 95% chance this was written by a white liberal.
They refuse to acknowledge that the United States does not value all lives in the same way. In unity with the student CTA mission statement, we will call out behaviors that continue to support white supremacy culture such as these. And I'll send you that right now on your.
No, I don't need an ulcer, Matt. I'm kidding. Yeah, send it to me. Please do.
And here's that is. The craziest bunch of shit. And I want people to know this is what your fucking teachers unions are all about.
Mm-hmm.
I said it right now. Divide,
conquer, teach racism in the schools. How many of these schools teach racism, blatant racism to the students? And the students are like, they don't see skin color. It's a taught behavior,
right?
And that shit is not coming from just from the homes at all.
Well, let me tell you this. So in a 95% Hispanic area where these people are Catholic, they're pro-life, you're going to come into our area and tell them, like it says on there, your life doesn't matter. Only Black lives matter. How is you going to make that fly in this city? How?
Exactly. With a big Hispanic population.
So check
it out. Has anyone else come up to you? Any of the parents come up to you with an agreement or, saying,
How, I asked the principal and she said, there's one other family. And I said, I think I know who they are. And I go, they're Mexican. She goes, yeah. And I go, I know who they are. And I said, you know why no one else will speak out? Because they're afraid. And I'm not afraid. I'm fucking pissed off as shit about this.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have no idea. Like I said, my video, I got a fucking heart condition and these people know it. And they sit here and they put this shit on me and dude, they've been doing it for 4 motherfucking years and I've so had it. And I'm telling you, I'll make them fucking famous. Watch.
Mm.
And nothing with a peaceful political process. You know what I mean? Nothing illegal. Everything's been done by the book. But I sent my video to the principal this morning and she didn't write back. I said, here's your countermeasure. And I said, when you're willing to say how transparent you are, give me your work address, and I'm going to have a couple of my buddies write you a couple fucking 100,000.
Yeah, they're
going to.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, they're going to end up with a lot of letters on their desk and a picket signs out in front of the school.
Bob, let me ask you something since you know about this. I mean, not that I would want to dox them, but do I have a right to give out their information if they're a public charter or no?
Absolutely. They would do the same thing if any news organization found out that a school was like pro Blue Lives Matter, like it would end up on the news.
Absolutely. Absolutely. CNN and MSNBC would run with that shit.
Yeah.
You betcha.
I just wanted to be sure legally, because to me, like the guy that I talked to, the state representative, he goes, dude, you pay their salaries with your tax dollars. He goes, you have every right to expose them.
Correct. Now, if you start doxing individual students, I mean, that's a totally different thing, you know, than
students,
exposing the administration, you know.
No, I don't mean students, but any of the teachers and the principals, okay, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it'd be the same thing, you know, to me as if the teacher was committing a crime. I personally believe that this is a form of child abuse. It's a form of mind control. And I've said this multiple times that any teacher that, you know, does forceful political indoctrination, and I'm talking about from either side, is involved in child abuse, whether or not you think the cause is just, because it's not your job to subvert these children and to teach them what to think. The whole point is to teach them how to think. The one thing I enjoyed about my government class in high school is that my teacher was left-leaning, but he brought in a friend who had a conservative radio show. They debated. And then we had a presidential election in our class where we had Republican, Democrat, and third-party candidates. We all engaged in open debates. We all had to have campaigns. And he sat there and he moderated it. He did not bring his own personal values into it. And he let us kind of, you know, share our own views for ourselves. And I thought that was a perfect way to do it. So, you know, if you're going to do that, you know, first of all, I believe it should happen, you know, in higher education, you know, in 9th through 12th grade.
Right.
But even if you're going to do that in junior high, I think it's a really good, message, you know, to do a point counterpoint. Even if you say, hey, Matt, you know, I want you to take, I want you to debate from the from the side of the left wing, to where you have to learn about the other side and you have to argue the other side, you know, because it's always good, even, you know, this helped me out in college too, by the way, you know, where I had to defend a particular stance that I didn't even support. And so I had to go online and I had to learn about this particular stance. And then I had to defend it in a classroom, even though I didn't believe in it. Sure. And I thought that was a really good learning method, you know, is to learn the other side. You know,
what's funny, man. I grew up Democrat. I was a Democrat my whole life. I don't even have to look into it now. And I'm kind of joking and half not. I would just say, if you hate the country and you want to burn it the fuck down, then you're on the left. I mean, dude, really? Because if you're being silent about it and you're not a radical, you're a traditional old school Democrat like my mom, right?
Right, right.
Dude, my mom's finally coming around, because I sent her that thing I read you guys a while ago, and she goes, I am so sick of this. She's a lifelong Democrat. And I go, Mom, my mom's worried about me. She goes, oh, you're stirring up all this shit. And I go, Mom, I have 99.9% of these people, like, everybody was agreeing with me. Everybody, like, dude,
right
around the world, UK, you name it, dude, people going, God bless you. Thank you for bringing this up. You're a good dad. You care about your fucking kid.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I want to tell you guys, dude, this morning, and if my voice is all raspy, I've been like literally bawling my eyes out, because my girlfriend is my kid's mom is a teacher at a private school out here. And I finally broke the news to her this morning that I was doing this, and I haven't told her for a week. So,
ooh, you didn't tell me that.
Yeah. So, dude, she just looked at me and I said, have you seen this stuff where they're saying that they don't want the parents to look into what their kids are doing? And she goes, you're not going to like my answer, because she's a teacher, but she's an admin now as well. She goes, I think it's disruptive. And I said, so you're telling me in my own fucking home, you're going to tell me what I can and can't do? And I said, you don't have a problem with that? Dude, she is literally, because she's a native out here in Cali, she's on their side. I mean, dude, I'm just going to say it, this has cost our relationship. Mm. It's over. Because I looked at her and I said, dude, I'll ask you what I'll ask the principal, because the principal has a 5-year-old white son. If a Black Lives Matter member came into your yard and shot him in the face, would you still support BLM? Answer me that.
That's a good question.
Answer me that.
It reminds me when Justin Trudeau was addressing the nation and he told the parents to leave the room so he could talk to
children. Talk to the kids private. Yeah.
I would be like, over my dead body. I would ever leave the room and let any statist or anybody talk to my children without me being able to look in.
Dude, I was sitting out there this morning. I'm not kidding you, because my girlfriend had to leave a little later today. And we had this little thing out about it. And I said, well, I go, I hate to tell you, you're going to see me on the national news this week. And she was like, oh, dear God. I went out there. I was so upset. I said, so you need to pick a side. Do you support them or do you support me? And she didn't say anything. And I go, your silence means you're complicit. Dude, I went outside and I sat on my front porch, and dude, I've literally been crying for like 20 minutes, because I'm like, who are you? Mm-hmm. Who the fuck are these people? You're a teacher and you're for this. So you're for, if my daughter gets killed, your daughter too, over this shit, you're going to say it's okay. And well, we just took one for the team, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fuck that shit.
Yeah. No, I mean, it is personal. And that's the thing that drives me crazy is, like I said, I'm an educator. I got my degree in teaching. And even when I was in the classroom, I was amazed at the amount of indoctrination from the teachers, you know, and right. the amount of like, I was afraid to speak out, to be honest with you, because sure. I was a new teacher and they were having, you know, parent teacher conferences, they were having meetings and they were discussing all these policies and you know, it's always this social justice shit. And you know, right. I'm the new guy and I'm like, fuck, like, do I want to keep my job? Like, and I was thinking to myself, if they ever organized any kind of walkout, like, would I stand up? Like, would I say, no, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to have my kids do this. You know, right. You know, what's going to happen with the parents? I mean, this is serious shit. And then I would end up, you know, alienating myself, you know, with the rest of the faculty. Cause listen, I'm telling you, I've talked to people at my mother's school and the ones that are conservative have like a scarlet letter on them because they know who all the conservative teachers are at the school. So they have a little scarlet letter on their back. It's very true because I've talked to some of these teachers like, oh, yeah, we know that some of them are blah, 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 blah. I mean, these are teachers that cried when Hillary Clinton lost the election, like the day after, like they had like group crying sessions. And let me tell you something, when Barack Obama was president, because I saw it, they had tons of stuff about, you know, patriotism and tons of stuff about the Barack Obama administration and all the great things he's doing. As soon as Trump got elected, none of it. They don't talk about it at all. I guarantee there's no pictures of our president, no talks about President Donald Trump. I bet he's not a part of the curriculum when they're studying presidents. I'm telling you, they're erasing this man from the history books. They're erasing this man from, you know, any conversation in the classroom because these teachers are so fucking caught up in this shit that they can't even objectively discuss the current administration in a classroom.
That's such a great point. Right. And
talking about like having to learn other sides as a teacher, that's only one-sided. How the hell would you grade a paper objectively?
It's impossible.
Right.
Exactly.
I mean, how many times?
That's what a lot of professors and stuff do now, because I know my daughter has gone through all of that stuff because they make them take these retarded gender studies classes. And this is all, mind you, this is all part of the indoctrination process, that you have to learn that males are toxic, females are the superior gender, and that you can be a tree if you want to, and why gender neutral bathrooms are important, even it may be a lot of cost and a business may not be able to afford it and stuff. But this is the kind of shit that they do. It's indoctrination, and it was just in colleges. This crap is overflowing into all of the schools.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Even as young as kindergarten and elementary school, they're teaching even 2-year-olds in preschool that you have a choice on your gender.
You know, the only choice I want is my choice of hamburger with special toppings.
Mm. Me too.
Exactly. Or
like I'd like a Lunchable.
That sounds good.
That sounds good.
I miss those square pizzas at lunch. You know what I'm talking about? Those
yes!
Little
squares. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They had the you just heat them up and it makes that little, you know, silicone bubble that traps all the heat.
Dude, I'm telling you, I don't know how much
or cellophane.
How much of my colon I packed full of those damn things.
Oh, man.
That is a whole nother deep subject right there.
Well, have you seen, like, you know, even like when they do all that gender fluidity stuff, you know, have you seen like as early as like preschool, they have these like little gender spectrum, like unicorn, like coloring charts and all this stuff. And then,
right.
You know, I mean, listen, the drag queen story hour we've seen, you know, and, you know, these little kids like literally watching adult drag queens pole dance while the parents are clapping and cheering, you know, like that is sexualization, whether you like it or not. If that was just a straight up female stripper, you guys would be pulling your kid away. What's the difference between a drag queen, you know, dancing, you know, provocatively and just a stripper, you know?
And not to mention that a lot of that indoctrination and stuff is part of the World Health Organization plan for global education. You can actually look that up on their website, where they're going to teach your kids that you can transition to another gender at, you know, 5 years old. It's your body. It's your choice. You can do that. Pedophilia is normal. Masturbation, anal sex. Parents, get the fuck involved with your kids' education. How many people would actually have caught this if it was in classroom learning instead of online?
Dude, that is like the statement right there, because so many of my people like Poston were like, dude, you know, there is a silver lining to this, and it's the fact that you got to see this, you know, like yourself.
Right.
Yeah, so I just looked it up right now. One of the little worksheets for the kids, it's called the Genderbread Person. It's this little gingerbread like identity, attraction, like spectrum, like degrees of femininity and masculinity and manness and woman. And it's like they try to like, this is like basically like, you know, Ronald McDonald people into, you know, understand it. But the thing is that I even have a cousin who is, you know, in psychology, and one of her case studies was an 8-year-old who is transitioning, and she had to go in and see how the whole process works with you know, psychiatrists helping parents understand the process of gender reassignment of an 8-year-old. And she was defending it, saying, you don't understand, this child is going through so much, this and that and the other. I said, I just don't. It's to me, it's the most disgusting thing, because you know you're claiming that this child is not old enough to consent to sex, right? To engaging in sex at the age of 18, but they're able to consent in a gender change into, you know,
right?
What I think is genital mutilation.
Right. It is, and to consent to, number one, the surgery, number two, the hormone treatments and what it does to your body. How in the hell does a child with an underdeveloped brain, because your thought process is not actually mature until you're in your 20s, let's be honest. How is a immature child rationally making the decisions on their own? They're not. It's indoctrination in school. And the teacher's like, oh, Janie, like, I really think you're a boy. I really think you're a boy. You should be a boy, Janie. You should be a boy.
How many?
We should call you Jimmy.
I ask you this, Matt and Janet. How many times has your kid come home and said something and you're like, where did you get that from? You know, like where did that come from? Like a lot.
Oh, on the elementary side of the school, was it last year? A parent I know, he's a Mexican guy, and he came up to me, and I know his family real well. He's got two daughters. One of them was in the first grade class. She came home crying, saying that basically the way she took the whole gender, you know, you could be whatever you want. She went home crying, telling her dad, saying, they're saying that I'm going to turn into a boy.
Oh, my God. Dude.
The parent called right away, and he said, you know what? I'm a Catholic. He goes, I have nothing against gay or transsexuals. He goes, but don't you ever do this again, or I'll sue the hell out of the school. And they stopped. They had to stop. Dude, he was furious about it.
Yeah. I can only imagine.
I mean, dude, what the fuck? What happened? You look, I know I'm going to sound like an old fuck because I'm 48 years old. And I know they're not going to have home ec class. And I know they're not going to have shop class anymore. I know they're not going to have what we used to have as kids growing up. But, dude, for the love of God, when did you guys – and I know we all know the answer. It's kind of rhetorical. When did all this stuff just start, like – pushing it like a cheese grater through and pushing it harder and harder. I mean, dude, like I said, my girlfriend, I've been with 18 years. Dude, we're not married. There's no common law marriage out here. Dude, she's so pissed at me, especially this morning. I mean, dude, she's just, I'm like, look, if you can't support me on this, then you're saying you're okay if they come and they hurt your kid. You're saying that you support that, right?
But this is the subversion, because how many people listening, and I can just give an example for me, even yesterday, a friend I've known since the age of 16, we got in such a heated debate to where he had, like, literally he ridiculed me publicly. And what I did, and what I urge anybody to do, is if you get ridiculed publicly for your beliefs, do not back down. Do not back down, because what's going to happen is eventually, here's what that first thing they do. When you come back at them, they call you crazy and unhinged. That's the funniest thing, is when you come back at them and defend yourself, they call you crazy and unhinged, right? And so what ultimately ends up happening is they end up apologizing to you, but they do it privately. This has been happening to me for 4 years. 20 years of friendship with a lot of these people, and they're willing to throw it all away based on a political ideology. Right. Ladies and gentlemen, the reason why that's happening is none other than it is a literal hypnosis. That's what it is. If you are willing to throw a friendship away over a political ideology, you are in a hypnotic state. And that's why it's exactly what it is. And so it's the same thing with any type of relationship, whether it's girlfriend or friend or anything like that. Because I don't know about you guys, I've never gone out of my way to ruin a friendship over politics. You know, I have to sit there and watch my friends post all this just disturbingly awful shit. And I either scroll or I may, you know, chuckle at them, or I may try to talk to them privately. But what I sure don't do is ridicule them publicly, because you know, ultimately that's my friend, that's my girlfriend, that's my family member. But from the other, I'm a walk away Democrat. When I was a Democrat, I never experienced this from the other side. I never experienced it. And I've been having to deal with it almost on a weekly basis, you know? So I just urge everybody not to back down or be intimidated by this stuff. It really, like, that's the number one thing.
Right. And I want to tell parents, again, take a stand. Take charge of your children's education. Get involved. Know what they're learning. Because it's not just the school systems in California. Here in Tennessee, in Rutherford County, which is around Murfreesboro area, the school sent home letters to the parents wanting them to sign a waiver stating that they will not watch any of the online lessons of their children. The parents went batshit nuts. Batshit nuts. The school board had to clarify, and now their stance is you have to get permission from a teacher to sit in on your child's lessons, but you can't screenshot or record or save anything that you may see in their lesson plan, because you may be getting classified information of a child.
Hey, let me ask Bob something real quick. Hey, mm-hmm. Bob, is it true that I heard somebody was writing me saying that they have to provide me as the parent by law the curriculum for like a month or whatever of what's going to be taught? Is that true?
Yeah, you're supposed to have access to the unit plans and the lesson plans. Yeah, they're not the
lesson plans.
Yeah, all that stuff is supposed to be access to the parents. Yeah, I mean, like, and you're supposed to basically see whatever the child sees, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
And for me, when I was teaching, I had to not only give out a lesson plan, but also give out my phone number, give out my email, so that students, parents, family members could contact me at any time regarding anything.
Right. Mm-hmm. Just to question you if you have a question.
Anything they had questions on. I laid it out very plainly, exactly what we were going to be doing, exactly what we were going to be covering. But then again, I never taught any of the crazy business that's going on now, and I never would.
Oh, dude, you should have seen how many people were writing me. I mean, obviously you guys can go and look, but I sat out with my daughter this morning just to show her, because she's been getting a little anxiety about this stuff. But I mean, seriously, Bob, imagine if you have a 13-year-old daughter, she came to me a week ago and said, "Dad, I would never think about hurting myself, but I've been so," dude, she's in tears. "I've been so depressed lately." And I just looked at her and I go, "This is a big problem." And I'm like, "Bubba, don't ever be ashamed of who you are." She goes, "I feel like they're shaming me for being white."
Yeah, that's why I was asking if she was experiencing any bullying, because I mean, this is what, you know, and they're saying, and this is, you know, where you're saying, like, in that whole thing, like with the Blue Lives Matter, it's inciting racial tension. No, the BLM movement is doing the same exact thing. And so what's going to happen is there's going to be bullying in schools where it's, you know, 95% whatever, and you know, she's the only white person in the school. Listen, it's hatred is hatred, racism is racism, whatever it is, in whatever form it manifests itself in. But you know, even I've heard anecdotes, I've heard stories of parents coming home and telling their parents that they have white privilege. Imagine that.
Right.
Imagine home, providing for your daughter, and then your daughter comes home and tells you, "Dad, you have white privilege."
Oh, I'd shit
my
pants.
So Matt, tell Bob about the story that you told me when you spoke to that guy that was running for office about what they made the white kid do in front of the class.
Oh, God. I think it was out here because they sued, and I think they won. So basically, this white kid had to go in front of the class and apologize in front of the class for being white and having white privilege. And I guess he went home and told – and I guess he was freaking out. He left the school crying and freaking out because he thought he's probably seen what's going on. And if you – you know.
Right.
Like, do mob rules. I mean, dude, it ain't going to matter how much of a badass you are if fucking 20 or 30 people are just beating you down. I mean, that's going to be it.
Listen, here's my take. Imagine if teachers had to wear body cams the way police officers did. The shit storm that would cause with teachers because, you know, we always talk about police brutality. What about teacher brutality? I'm telling you, because, you know, also show that 99% of the teachers are great people. And then you have this 1% that are just radical or abusive.
We had one. I'll tell you about this lady who came in from the last principal. She goes, when we were having our meeting, she goes, we're going to have somebody who's a former Olympic runner, some black lady who's going to help teach gym. And I'm like, dude, that's awesome. And I was excited 1 month into it. And I said, and then I thought about it and I go, wow, so she's more of a college person. I go, maybe she'd have been teaching in the colleges instead of a junior high. Well, after 1 month, and one of my daughters was one of the people, the lady got so pissed off at the kids not listening, she grabbing kids by the arm like really hard and hurting them.
Right.
She was fired immediately.
I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure.
Right.
Yeah. I had a similar experience when I was teaching where they had somebody, it wasn't a substitute, but she was standing in for a couple months. As a PE teacher, and she came from more of like a military background, and she was a collegiate volleyball player and had zero experience working with kids. And she ran her PE class like a freaking boot camp.
I bet.
And just I remember every time picking my kids up, just hearing her yelling at the top of her lungs, you know, and our kids were afraid to go to PE, you know?
But considering the indoctrination that they're getting now and how they're teaching them to be pansies, that might not be a bad thing if we instated.
Maybe not. But geez,
I'll go be a PE teacher. So I just want to mention one other school thing that I found. This was from the Wiley School District in Texas, and it's right outside of Dallas. It's like 20 minutes outside. The school system was forced to apologize for teaching because they were sending home paperwork that was depicting police officers as slave owners and KKK.
Oh, my God.
The parents, it's a handout. I saw the picture of it, and I was like, oh, hell to the no.
Whoa. Where was this at? This was in Texas?
This was in Texas at the Wiley School District, which is right outside of Dallas.
Oh, my God.
So the parents went batshit nuts. The school corporation was not only forced to apologize, but the entire lesson plan was completely canceled. Thanks to the parents.
You know what I'm...
So thank you, parents.
You know what I'm...
For being vigilant and standing up.
You know what I'm pushing with this? Somebody asked me, they said, what is your ultimate goal now that like, I mean, my... And dude, if it's possible and if it ends up being, God willing, that I end up being like one of the spokespeople for this for, you know, our side or whatever. But dude, it's just like, it's so overwhelming to me growing up in this country and just that what we're talking about right now. That it's actually real.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what really scares the living shit out of me, man. Like, again, dude, I'm the guy with the heart condition. Dude, I'm sitting there talking to her mom this morning, and it was, just, I mean, I was like, are you going to support me or not? She's like, you're crazy. She's like, what do you want to do? Pull her out of school? I go, why don't you ask your fucking daughter how she feels? Because she's begging to pull out of school. She goes, I don't even want to go back now. Fuck this shit.
Right.
Dude, I mean, it's just like, she's all I got. And I was like, dude, if something happens to her because of your political rhetoric, oh, my God.
And she's probably saying the same thing, you know? That's the crazy thing about
it. I know,
it.
She is, yeah, right. Exactly. And I was just like, but, dude, again, when are you going to stand up? It makes no sense. There's no blacks in the school. To me, it's like this, Bob. In South Central, where it's mainly 95% black, are they going to do Chicano studies, you know, Mexican Chicano studies?
Right.
Hell no, they're not. And they're not racist for not wanting to learn it. They have no fucking interest. Right. It's not
their okay. Culture. So here's the question. Okay, whites are demonized because they have white privilege, and everything about whites is awful and terrible. Just like men are demonized. So here's the thing. You have an entire Black History Month.
Right.
Okay. You have a Black entertainment television channel. It's all about Black power, Black Lives Matter. So no one else matters at this particular moment, only Black people. And I love, you know, having this discussion because it's difficult for a lot of people. But I want to say, racism does not run as a one-way street.
Mm-hmm.
It is not just white people that have a race problem. If you do not see that this is a race problem in itself, where you're teaching everybody on the planet that white people are bad and white people need to apologize for being white, you can't change your skin color. You cannot help who you are. God made you in an image for a reason. Brown people can't help what color they are. Neither can Asians.
Right.
So this whole thing is a race baiting scheme.
Yes.
Well, complete and total.
On top of it, it's to get votes. That's the number one thing, because we're even glossing over that because, let's talk about the real reason why BLM exists and only seems to manifest itself once every 4 years during an election cycle.
Right.
And then they raised $33 million or something like that.
In one month after George Floyd,
and that goes straight to Democrat candidates. You know, and then here's the other thing: there have been plenty of Black people outspoken against BLM because, or even Marcellus. Marcellus Wiley, who's a former NFL player turned analyst for Fox Sports, FSN, where he says, I don't support this because they are for the destruction of the nuclear family as well. And he read off their mission statement. He goes, as a father, I cannot support this movement. And so we need to understand is that these two movements are not synonymous. Supporting Black Lives and supporting BLM are completely different things, like two completely different things.
And that brings me to a good point because, you know, if you donate to BLM, it goes to Act Blue. However, people probably are not aware that BLM operates through a sponsorship agreement with a company called Thousand Currents. If you look up Thousand Currents, it's extremely interesting because they do a lot of wink grants and stuff for what's called the country South. The country South to me is a slang term because what they're talking about is third world countries.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the country South is, third world countries. And they give them these grants to take care of globalist agendas. So under this Thousand Currents program, they were recently exposed because they have a convicted terrorist on their board of directors as their vice president.
I've seen this. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Okay, so this woman was sentenced to 58 years. She only served 16. Her name is Susan Rosenberg. You can look it up. It's all over the place. After this was exposed, their board of directors was mysteriously taken down. The public has no access to this. So this particular woman was granted clemency in 2001 by who? Bill Clinton.
Oh.
So she served 16 years of a 58-year sentence. She was part of what's called the May 19th Communist Organization, or the M19 Co. She was also part of the Weather Underground. I know Dan Goodenwell, people have heard of the Weather Underground before. A lot of organizers in the BLM movement came from the Weather Underground. It's a terrorist organization, just like the other organization she was part of. They also support and are they provided, you know, other terrorist support to another one called the Black Liberation Army, which did armed truck robberies and bombings of government buildings. This is the fucking woman that was sitting on the board of the, quote, charity organization, the 501c3, that is in partnership with BLM. The money comes in from ActBlue, goes to this, you know, whatever, and then it goes back to BLM, and then it funnels back into the Democratic Party. It's a laundering, money laundering scheme, just like everything else.
It's kind of like when I said, you know, that I think the BLM movement is like the new Clinton Foundation, you know, essentially.
It is.
Because it serves the same purpose.
So here's the kicker. Okay, this is really interesting. So, you know, Glenn Beck is the one that exposed their board of directors and whatnot. And then as soon as he did the show on it, that's when everything disappeared. However, the co-founder of the global network of BLM was on CNN. Her name is Patrice Cullors. She stated, and I quote, "We are trained Marxists."
Yeah.
"And we are here to get Trump out at all costs."
Yep.
So let me tell you a little ditty that you probably aren't aware of. By doing so,
will you say, "You want to know something fucked up?"
You want to know something fucked up. You want to know something really, really fucked up.
There we go.
That's some total horseshit and fuckery. This violated the IRS laws that are on the books,
yeah,
because they prohibit strictly any 501c3 organization from engaging in any type of campaign activity. They may not participate in any activity or organization against political candidates that includes any and all statements, verbal or written. They can and will, hopefully, lose their tax exempt status.
Yeah, right.
So, you got the organizers, and it hasn't been just Patrice, it's been multiple people on CNN and on MSNBC, that the goal of BLM is to further their actual politics as far as Marxism and the implementation of Marxism and socialism. They're on CNN and MSNBC literally all the fucking time.
It's a Trojan horse.
It is.
It is a Trojan horse for Marxism. And it's so obvious. Even what Matt said, just with the symbolism itself of the CCP fist.
Right.
You know.
And so, you know, the FBI, they investigated these organizations that this wonderful Susan Rosenberg was part of it. And they said that the documents show that they openly advocate for the overthrow of the U.S. government through armed struggle and violence. Now, what is it that we see on national TV?
Mm-hmm. Everything that
armed struggle and violence. Yesterday, I watched a video of BLM protesters surrounding a police vehicle with what? What is it that they want to ban? Guns. AR-15s, and they're surrounding a police vehicle with AR-15s. Oh, God. And telling the police that they're going to do what they're told.
And what was this in Portland? Is that what you said?
Yes.
And so you have the police force that's also been taught to kind of stand down, right? I actually saw some videos of some of the police, you know, there was actually a video of a police officer basically saying, "Yeah, I'm resigning." Because that, you know, here's the way I look at it. It's the same way in the school system. When the teachers aren't supported by the administration and aren't supported by, you know, by the counties and the school systems, You can't do anything. You can't discipline. And it's the same thing with the police force. If you're not supported by the city, if you're not supported by your captain, if they're teaching, you know, specific ideologies, you can't do anything. And that's what they're saying. Like they're not allowed to enforce, you know, they're not allowed to enforce laws. They're not allowed to do what they're trained to do. And they have both hands tied behind their back. You know, I was in a school system one time in which I could not send kids to the principal's office because the principal could not would not discipline them properly. And so the kids just got away with murder, you know, and it's the same thing with any type of system.
Well, I just want to say, and here's a little story about me personally. When I was teaching, I taught at a college where I was definitely the minority. There were literally three white people on campus as far as teachers go. And I was called by administrators and my bosses, cracker, honky, whatever. They would yell racist comments down the hall at me, out their doors at me all the time. Mm-hmm. I literally documented absolutely everything, everything I was called, what time of day, who all was involved, who was in the office with the person, whatnot. You know, they would make really crappy statements to like students that they didn't like and stuff all of the time. I was teaching CPR at the time. I was a CPR instructor. Mm-hmm. It's mandated by the American Heart Association how many students you can have at a particular time. They always made my class over full and they would never send help, which was against regulations. I documented all that. We'd order textbooks or supplies for class. You'd go to get them on your first day of a new semester or a new quarter, and none of the stuff was there. That's because some of the other teachers would take the stuff and they would sell it. I documented absolutely everything I witnessed. I went to administration. They're like, oh, well, do you think, you know, you just think people are picking on you, blah, blah, blah. I finally ended up leaving because I got pneumonia. They let me go because I had pneumonia, because I took off when it wasn't actual school break time, because you could only be off when the school was off. So it didn't matter that I had an excuse. So anyway, right after I left, because the administrator didn't want to do anything, I went to corporate. They came in and cleaned house.
They did.
And all of those people that were instructors, that were my bosses or other people in my department, in a health department, by the way, because I was teaching medical, they fired them all because none of them had degrees but me.
Oh my God.
It was all falsified.
Now, that's a great story. Now, imagine this. Imagine if you did not have the support, right? Imagine if...
I didn't. I was the only one.
No, but I'm saying is they went in and got fired. That's what you said, correct?
Yeah, because the administrator of the college didn't do anything. The second in command didn't do anything. So I went over their head and I went to their corporate office. I just sent them a letter and I thought, oh, hell, because they said they would interview me. It never happened. I never got an interview. But then...
That's what I'm saying. You know, imagine if even corporate didn't have your back. You know, imagine if nobody had your back. And I feel like that's the way with some of the doctors that are speaking out about some of the corona testing and some of the alternative medication. They're not getting... I mean, they're losing their jobs. They're possibly losing their license.
Right.
You know?
That's why I'm saying, for me, I have to speak up. Yeah. I have to stand up. This country, to me, is the most amazing place in the world. We have more rights and are afforded more opportunities than anywhere else you could ever go. Anybody that's ever traveled to other countries, trust me, there's a lot of places there's not even any hot water.
Right.
You know,
and even places that they describe as like socialist utopias, like my aunt has lived in places like Holland, and she's even said that, like, listen, there's zero to no motivation or incentive to advance yourself. Like, everybody owns like tiny little coffee shops and everybody's just kind of content. And there's nothing wrong with that. I got no, you know, if you want to own a cup, but there's zero incentive to want to, you know, create something big, you know. And she says there's a stagnation there that is just, you can't like, when she came back to America, she just remembered like she could like she could breathe the air better. You know, she was like, she felt more motivated than she had ever been before. And it's just like, you know, there's a certain, you know, and here's the thing, obviously America is not perfect, right? It's not, it's a flawed system, right, just like any, and it, we're going to,
but what country is not?
Right. Right.
What country is perfect? There are none,
but my,
there's zero.
So real quick, my question to Matt. So what's the next step for you in this process? And the other question is so do you think there's a possibility that your child may not be asked back to the school?
I don't see how that's possible, because I think that, you know, when I talked to the principal last week, she goes, oh, I appreciate you. And when everyone says that, I don't believe when they say they appreciate you asking that question.
Yeah.
I think it's just a way to delay time to actually figure out an answer. But anyway, she goes, I said, I'll give you the other side. Let me be the other side. Let's have debates online, me and you, if you want. I said, I've been begging for this for 4 years. And she was like, she said it, oh, this seems like a very positive thing, and I encourage this. So I was like, you can't discourage it. And I told her, my daughter's mother this morning, I go, could you imagine how easily I could sue them and get a lot of money for them for having an opposing point of view? Are you fucking shitting me?
Mm. Right.
You can't throw me out of a school for having a different point of view. You got to be kidding me.
And that's the thing, like here in Tennessee at that, in the Rutherford County School District, where they told the parents they had to sign a waiver they weren't allowed to watch anything and all that stuff. And I don't know how they're going to police this. And I want you to think about how they would police this. If you're caught screenshotting or recording any of the class lessons, especially if you don't have permission from the teacher, they can remove your student from school. And they're trying to figure out how they can punish the parents.
But it's always in the name of safety, right? Like, it's always in the name of...
But number one, how the hell would they know what the hell I do in my own home?
See, that's exactly what I said to my girlfriend this morning. I told her, I said, and I'd mentioned that, I said, you know, in the Midwest, like where Janet's at, they're trying to pass this. And she looked at me and she goes, you're not going to like the answer. And then, now keep in mind, she's a teacher, right? She goes, it's disruptive. And I said, so in my own home, I can't open the door and just look in, not even be into the camera's view. You're not even going to see me. I just want to look in and see that you're not showing my kid fucking Disney porn and shit. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'll tell you, let me finish on my thing. I'll just say this. My main goal with this, and I'll just tell you definitively, is this. If they don't stop this shit, I'm going to ask Trump to sign a bill that says any school that supports a Marxist group like them is immediately defunded and shut down.
That's what I'm saying.
Shut down. Right. Fuck this. Shut your ass down. We're going to change the education system with this. And I hate to say it, I have a feeling I'm going to have a little bit, and you guys too are going to have a little bit to do with it. Because, dude, I'm telling you, the Mexican people out here are not going to go for this. Mark my words.
Mm. Right. And people, like I said, and I'm going to remind parents again, get involved. Know what the hell your kids are being taught.
They work for us.
If it goes against your values, stand up against them. Take a stand, because if you're scared, don't be. There's no need to be. It's your child. It's your home. It's your child's future.
You know what's more scary, Janet?
You
know what's more scary is if you sit by and you do nothing, then you're complicit in this. You're okay with your kid being fucking indoctrinated. And I'm telling you, I don't give I told my mom, I said, I don't give a fuck if this costs me my relationship, which it has. I don't give a shit. I am taking this shit all the way. Dude, they have fucked with me for 4 years. I sit here and I've been so nice. I've donated money to the school. I have testified in court. Right. I was your token fucking white guy. And you guys think that you're going to fucking brainwash my kid and make her feel bad? Oh, fuck your ass. And it is on.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to laugh, but that that was fantastic.
Oh,
I mean,
really? Oh, no. Dude, they don't want me up there, because I guarantee you, dude, I bet you I'm going to get a call from Trump and I'm going to say, let me go to a rally. I'm a musician. Dude, I know how to command a fucking crowd. I will have the place going nuts. So,
oh, yeah, man. That, you know, and listen, this is kind of why artists and musicians are dangerous and why they want to silence, you know, some of the outspoken ones, is because they have that microphone and they know how to command an audience. That's why, you know,
right?
That's why I was always wondering about the whole Prince thing, if you want to get into the conspiratorial, because he started talking out about chemtrails and other shit like that. And then all of a sudden, boom, Prince is gone. But, you know, just to just to echo that sentiment, you know, about what Matt's talking about, you have to be outspoken about this stuff, and you right. can't be afraid to talk about it, because that is the fear that they're trying to instill. And it's just
right.
when we talk about infiltration instead of invasion, this is the slow game. This is when we talk
the long
about
game. This the, is the long game.
Yes, the yes. slow game. Thank right. you. The long game, where they this has been written down. I mean, this isn't just spitballing. This is an actual plan, like a 20-year indoctrination plan, where you know it starts in the school systems, and then these people become in positions of power. And that's why when I become a freshman in college at Fordham University, I get handed the Communist Manifesto. You know, like. Imagine that as a freshman in college, you know, that's the first book I get handed is the fucking Communist Manifesto.
Right.
Yeah. So we're supposed to teach these kids how to think. That's right. the number
critical
one thing.
Thinking. Critical thinking.
Right.
Critical thinking is number one. And right. and I do believe it is child abuse. I do believe it's child abuse. And
it is.
Most of these people are what's called useful idiots. A lot of them that don't realize what they're actually doing. Like just go on facinghistory.org and just kind of look around, because if I was a teacher and I didn't really know much about this stuff, I would look on this page and be like, oh, this is so beautiful. Yeah, I don't like racism. Everybody hates racism. I can't wait to teach all this stuff to these children. And then but if you dig a layer deeper with this stuff, this is indoctrination. It's forceful indoctrination. And that's exactly right. what it is. Funded by Jeff Bezos's ex-wife, by the way. You know, like right. like look, follow the money. If I could, you know, just tell people one thing, always follow the money. Who's funding these things? Where does the money go? Where does it come from? This isn't grassroots shit. This is funded by the richest of the rich of the rich that are, you know, that are purposefully and, you know, not tactfully. What's the word I'm looking for? You know, they're basically, you know, this is like a coordination, you know,
it's
this
deliberate.
Is deliberate.
Of course it is. Yeah, of course it is. So. And, you know, teaching through fear is a number one, a scary thought, that you have to now intimidate children because you've tried to intimidate the adults and it doesn't work.
Well, fear.
So
yeah,
now
fear,
you have to intimidate the children.
Fear is the number one thing they use in the Hegelian dialectic, which is the problem, reaction, solution, right? Where you create
right.
a problem.
Right.
Plato and Socrates. Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, even with this coronavirus stuff, you know, you can basically tell how somebody's voting based on how fearful they are with this whole yes. mask mandate shit. Yep. You can tell right. what their political right. allegiance is. And so the ones that are extremely afraid are usually the ones that are, you know, voting left. And that's where you see that the fear campaign is the way you sway people to get them to do whatever you want. That's why when we talk about the international blackmailing system, like, that's right. a form of fear. You know, you blackmail someone and then you can basically, they're your puppet. Like, oh, we have this information on you. We have this shit. That's what Jeffrey Epstein ran was, you know, you want to just call it like a human trafficking ring, but it's even deeper than that. It's an international blackmailing system. So all these politicians, right. everybody's operating on fear. Everybody's operating on fear right now. So
100%. So Matt, when you actually spoke to the principal, what did she mention to you about future plans for things or certain lessons that they want to teach?
Nothing at all.
About sexuality.
Oh, well, they were going to, you know, have a whole I know what you're saying. She'd asked me, she goes, would you have a problem with them having a gay club or a thing like that? And here's what I said, and I'm honest. I said, I don't have a problem with it if the parents approve of it and it's not something that you push down everyone's throat. I said, I think that that's being, because I've talked to, like, this guy I was talking to, he actually wrote me right now, he wants to call me the state assembly guy. He's like against Scott Pressler and he's against people like Brandon Straka. I guess he's really more hardcore against like the gay, whatever. My point with those guys, if you push them from our movement, where are they going to go?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So I believe that you should accept them. And even though I don't personally agree with them, I know a lot of people gay, trans, dude, I live in Hollywood 12 years. I have a lot of friends. Right. And I told the school this, I said, why don't you have the opposing side? There was someone I used to play with who's a man who dresses like a woman and he lives his life that way. He'll come and tell you that most of the people in that are mentally ill. He admitted it. He goes, no, we have a big mental illness problem in our community, and nobody wants to talk about it.
Well, isn't there's a clinical term, gender dysphoria, correct? I mean, whether or not you believe that that is, you know, hocus pocus or not, there is an actual clinical term that somehow it seems like that term has kind of disappeared, you know, and.
But, you know, that is a thing. And I want people to think this all ties back to your vaccinations, big pharma, the medications that you're given, because really early in the school system, what did they do? Oh my God, I think Johnny has ADHD.
Right.
Oh, we should put him, you know, you should take him to the doctor and they should put him on medication for ADHD.
Ritalin, yeah.
Oh my gosh, you know, yeah, with the stimulants and everything. And you people don't understand, like, to the extent of what all is in your medications and what all is in your vaccinations and how much they alter not only mood, but personality, your hormone function, your body's ability to maintain homeostasis or balance. All of that ties together. This is all a great, big, huge global plan. And I will tell you again, go look at the World Health Organization website. It talks about the education process, what needs to be taught in schools all around the globe, indoctrination of your children from every level, even from, you know, pre-kindergarten and, you know, in preschool and stuff. So imagine how many kids are not like on the level of Matt's daughter, where they don't understand exactly what it is that they're saying, to be able to report to the parents that, hey, in daycare today, you know, we saw pictures of naked people or, you know, whatever the case is. Because if you think that stuff is not happening, you are sadly mistaken. Sadly mistaken.
And, you know, just to give like a metaphor, I was actually talking with somebody last night about this. One of the reasons why we keep going back to McDonald's, even though it's the shittiest hamburger on the planet, is because when we take a bite into that burger, whether it's consciously or subconsciously, it brings us back to that child state where we got the Happy Meals and we had the playgrounds and we had birthday parties at McDonald's where we got to take the tours and, you know, all the toys in the bag and all this stuff. And that's why the big Ronald McDonald campaign was so big, is because McDonald's marketing, and it is a form, marketing is mind control, it is indoctrination. The form of marketing was, let's get these kids hooked early, get them addicted to it, so that way, you know, we have a customer for life. Okay.
Right.
It's like that with anything. So whether it's a customer or whether it's, you know, you're into that political ideology. And this is why they're reintroducing Bill Nye, is because now we have grown adults. When I was a child, Bill Nye was in every single classroom. They put VHS in during science class and we'd watch Bill Nye the Science Guy. And if you watch, even some of his stances have changed. Now he's all about the gender spectrum. He got his own show on Netflix because now we have a bunch of adult children that want to watch Bill Nye as an adult. Why? Because it brings us back to that child state when we were 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 years old watching Bill Nye as a kid. You know, so this
is, which is, and that's really funny because Bill Nye is not an actual scientist either.
And I'm so glad you said that, because there's this really hilarious meme, Dolph Lundgren, who played the Russian guy in Rocky IV,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
He has more credentials as a scientist than Bill Nye does. Okay?
Why does so what is it about Bill Nye? Because I've always heard about that he's not. So, I mean, is he just like an entertainer, right? I mean, he's just.
Yeah, I mean, he's an entertainer. Now, granted, I do believe he has a couple patents. You know, I mean, he's a smart man. But that's the main thing is he is an entertainer. I want to say he was either a failed actor or something in the entertainment industry. His degree is in like, I can look it up because I don't want to say.
Engineering.
Yeah, engineering.
He's got an engineering degree.
He worked for either Boeing or another company like that. He has a couple patents. So, I mean, you know, he's a very intelligent man. But here's the thing. And with science, you know, it's so compartmentalized, but like he is known as the expert across all scientific spectrum, you know, whether it's, you know, quantum right. physics or biomechanics or anything, he is known as the voice. And that's right. the problem we have with scientism. And this is why I think scientism is very dangerous is because they're operating outside their area of expertise. And we look at these scientists right. as godlike figures that cannot be questioned. Right. And so that's the main thing is just teaching people to question these people. Like Bill Nye should not be, you know, like you said, on your child's list of scientists to look after just because they're a celebrity scientist.
Nor Greta Thunberg.
Oh, dude, I was dying. I was like, really? These are the choices? I go, they all suck.
Yeah.
He sent me that list, and I'm looking at him going, none of these people are scientists. That second guy, that hip-hop guy, he's a fucking rapper. He's not a goddamn scientist. And then these same idiots, kind of like Biden's whole thing after the DNC, it's like, oh, we gotta believe science over politics for stuff. Okay, but look at the people that they're putting forth as scientists that are not scientists. Yep. So you're going to believe Greta Thunberg as a scientist over people that actually study science and study microbiology or communicable diseases or, you know, pathology or whatever.
You're not a virologist.
Right, you're going to believe her over them just because the BLM movement says these are the people that you need to follow.
Okay, so real quick, this is what we do on Deplorable Podcast. We bring up-to-date information. So Bill Nye, okay, so after he graduated from Cornell, yeah, he did work for Boeing. He had a couple patents. So here's how he got famous. He started doing stand-up comedy after winning a Steve Martin look-alike contest in 1978.
He does not even look like Steve Martin. I grew up with Steve Martin. He does not resemble him at all.
So in some ways, that's great. He's an entertainer. He makes science entertaining and fun. But on the other side of it, think of him as a Ronald McDonald-like character. You know,
right.
That's realistically what he is. You know, if you really want to look at it, and the reason why I'm saying this is because they're bringing him back around and now and they're teaching kids to trust Bill Nye as a source of all things science because he won a fucking Steve Martin lookalike contest and, you know, did some stand up comedy, you know, on the side while he was working for Boeing.
Now, Bob, I just have to say, you know what this made me think of?
What's that?
I wear a bow tie. You should totally believe everything I say because I wear a bow tie.
Like, hey, that bow tie is powerful. Tucker got away with it for a while, too.
Yeah. Hey, and you've mentioned McDonald's. So I just want to say there is a documentary that's really great about McDonald's called Super Size Me.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah.
The guy that does that, he's amazing. His name is Morgan Spurlock. He also did one about the poultry industry, which you have to watch because this is another thing about science where they tell you, you know, it's cage free, it's range free, it's this, it's that, it's blah, blah, blah. You have to watch that documentary from Morgan Spurlock. It's super enlightening about how easy it is to get around the government regulations to say your food is antibiotic free, steroid free, whatever. So check that out.
Mm. Yep.
So anyways, so we're going to have to close it up for today because we've been babbling for quite a while now. Wow. So anyway, final thoughts, Mr. Matt?
Just like you guys were saying and everyone else, I mean, these are our kids. The school doesn't own our kids. You know, like everyone needs to get involved, and it might be uncomfortable, but guess what? A lot of shit in life is uncomfortable. And I mean, to me, this is a fight worth having. You know, they said at the school there that, you know, I was like, are you guys about transparency? Because, you know, once I go on a major show, I'm telling you, it's, you know, I'm probably going to give out not the actual, because there's a whole series of these schools. I'm not going to give out the specific one, but I don't know. Maybe I will. We'll just see. But, you know, parents, get involved. Don't be afraid to stand up. I mean, these are our fucking kids. And it's like, dude, I'll be damned. I'll fight to my last breath for this. And I'm telling you, I feel like, this might really sound weird, but I feel like I was chosen to do this.
Yeah,
I know you.
I really do, man. And I've had,
that's what I told you before.
Yeah, it's strange because I've been like, you know, I'm a musician, but dude, all this stuff, I admit, I get depressed and it pisses me off. And I'm just like, I feel like I'm being talked down to like I'm a child, like I'm a child slave. No, you need to stay the fuck home. You need to not do this. You need to not do that. Well, you know what? Fuck this shit. If that's the way it's going to be, dude, I'm willing to fight for this, like literally with my last breath. And I really encourage everybody to get involved because you can't stop it. Of, by, and for the people. It's that easy.
That's right. So. You got to, and our kids are our most important commodity.
Yes.
So you got to take a stand for your kids. Right. Absolutely.
There you go.
So Matt, where can they find you at?
At Jerry M. Moss on Twitter. I guess I'm just going to give that out because everyone's starting to know me now, I guess, like it or not. So.
Joel Famous. And Mr. Rob, final thoughts for you?
Well, no, I just to kind of piggyback off of what Matt's saying, you know, I don't have children of my own, but when I taught these children, I really looked at them as my children and I felt responsible for their well-being. And I understood how impressionable they were and how delicate their minds are. And so I took extra responsibility to make sure every word that came out of my mouth was, you know, was constructive and teaching them how to think openly rather than forcefully directing them, you know, in a specific direction that caters to my needs. That's extremely selfish. And like I said, I do believe that's child abuse. So stand up for your children. It's the same thing with forceful vaccinations. You know, like we need to stand up for these kids. Cause like what Janet said, this is our greatest commodity. So Matt, if you feel like that's your calling, you know, don't be afraid to say that because, you know, especially if you're feeling depressed about it, that's a sign saying like, yo, like you need to do something about it. And obviously it's reaching people. If it's already reached 500,000 people, you know, on Twitter and, you know, it's going to continue to do that. That's how these movements start. And that's how the snowball effect starts. And it's weird how like the synchronicities are happening where I see your video and then 4 days later, I'm listening to Glenn Beck and they're releasing a video called Brainwash.
They told me about him too. Everybody was mentioning him. They're like, oh, Glenn, dude, oh my God. Between Betsy DeVos, Trump was the first one that obviously he's had to have seen this. I mean, I'm not kidding you. I guarantee you by the end of this week, if not with a few days, because like I said, I know they have the Republican convention going on. I promise you I will get a call from Donald Trump on this. I guarantee it.
That'd be fantastic.
And I just want to remind people that in his speech on around the 4th of July at Mount Rushmore, he did mention the indoctrination of our children in the schools. Mm-hmm. So he's well aware that this is going on. So more power to the parents out there. Take a stand. Stand up for your kids. Don't be afraid because you need to do what's right and you need to do what's moral. Don't let fear guide you. Don't let fear take control of your life. Do what's right for your family and for your kids.
You know what? This stuff, I'm not going to lie to you guys. I am physically I'm physically exhausted because I'm so mentally exhausted because this has just been so much. And I'm telling you, dude, I'm not going to lie to you. I was sitting here outside of my place this morning, dude, with my hand in my face, crying my eyes out. Because I can't believe that, you know, my daughter's mother is literally, she's complicit in this to me. And I said, what if someone came to your school and shot one of your kids because you're at a preschool and shot him in the face? Would you tell the parents that that's just the way it is?
Yeah.
Right. Bill, you know, these movements say it's okay. So it must be okay. It's not okay.
So just keep up the good fight.
Yeah. And so, Bob, where can they find you at?
Twitter and Instagram at Bob's Lessons and Patreon, patreon.com/SideshowBob. And the No Mercy podcast. We are dropping an episode tomorrow, so you can also follow the No Mercy podcast.
Nice.
Fantastic. That's good because listeners want to know. So I just want to say, in my final thoughts, I already told you to take a stand and do what's right, do what's moral. But I also want to say to several of our listeners, I know you're suffering right now. I know some of you have had some horrible losses lately. I see you. I feel you.
Right.
And I'm here with you. You have our full support. You support us. We support you. This community is based on not just intelligence and, you know, knowledge and stuff, but it's based on love for one another as well. So I ask that you give prayers for one of our listeners, especially that had a devastating loss in their family the other day. So I just want to ask you all to pray for them. With God, all things are possible. So anytime you have problems, give your problems up to God. If you do believe in God, if you are spiritual, if, you know, in any way, shape, or form, please do so. I asked also that you please follow us, download, like, subscribe, comment, review on Podbean. We're trying to get our viewership back up since our deletion from multiple platforms because I'm a bad girl. So anyway, if you would do that, we would appreciate it. And anyway, for me, for Bob, for Deplorable Nation, thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next time. Peace out.
Later.